Hello and welcome to Creature Wars, the show where zoologists get fighty. First, let's meet our guests. This week we have Lottie Bingham, Emma Parkin and Maddie Finley. Lottie, can you tell us which creature you're representing today?
I will be representing the naked mole rat.
Nice. Okay, and Emma, what are you representing today?
Today, Catherine, I am championing the barnacle.
The barnacle.
The barnacle. You will see why later.
All right. And Maddie, what's your creature today?
I am going to be championing the tarsier.
The tarsier. Which,
yeah.
Handily, you told me before and I've looked it up, it's very cute. And it lives in Borneo.
Yes, it does. Well, I always thought it looked a bit more like a gremlin, but...
Gremlin. Gremlins like can be cute.
Yeah.
It's like the granddad of the primate world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wrinkly.
I have no idea what a tarsier is, so this is exciting for me.
You'll find out.
I can't wait.
All right, before we start, let's have a run through of the rules. There are three rounds during which each creature must face a scenario and attempt to survive it. Contestants, as your creatures cannot speak for themselves, you must speak for them. If you think that your creature is not up to the challenge, you can turn over your wild card, which this week your fellow competitors have made for you.
Wahahaha.
Only Emma is evil amongst the group.
We'll see.
We established this several shows ago, I'm not going to lie.
Okay, you may only do that once during the competition. When all the contestants have made their arguments, a judgment will be made.
I'm the judge.
The judge's rule is final. All right, let's have the first scenario. Okay. Scenario. You and your fellow creatures have been invited onto The Apprentice. Alan Sugar wants you to show him your best business nous. How will you respond, each using your own special skills? I'd love to know how a barnacle is going to go on The Apprentice. I've not watched it, but I've heard that they're usually a bit useless. So perhaps you can...
What, The Apprentice or barnacles? Because...
No, not barnacles.
No, the members of The Apprentice. Okay. Right. Well, I'm very resilient to change. Because I live in the intertidal zone of the oceans, the bit where when at low tide they're above water and at high tide they're below water, so they have to be able to survive frequent periods of desiccation, which they do by protecting themselves from with their hard calcareous shell. And I feel that this quality of resilience is equally applicable to business decisions and
transferable skills.
I'm not entirely sure what else. I mean, he's very well endowed. The hermaphrodite barnacle has one of the longest penises, in fact, the longest penis proportional to body size in the animal kingdom. It's like 30 times bigger. I was going to bring this up potentially for a later scenario, but I feel Alan Sugar will respect the barnacle even more.
Do you think so?
I think so, to be honest. He's quite a traditional man. So
certainly feature on the Daily Mail.
Yes.
Got that.
I would be the most publicly...
Publicity.
Yeah, I'd be very well publicised as a contestant on The Apprentice. And I think that would make me quite a macho, aggressive leader in the boardroom when stomping all over my fellow contestants. That's probably it for the barnacle on this particular scenario.
Okay. All right, that's more promising than it sounded to begin with. All right, Lottie.
Yeah, well, the naked mole rat, I think he's actually got a pretty strong chance. So he has these ginormous teeth out the front, which he uses for digging tunnels.
Are you just going to maul your fellow contestants?
Well, no, so... I might maul Alan Sugar if he doesn't hire me, but these teeth can move independently, so they can move side to side like chopsticks.
What?
Perfect business plan. It's like, chopsticks, don't need them, I've got a naked mole rat.
So you're going to sell yourself as the product?
Yeah, 100%. That is pretty much how The Apprentice works, isn't it?
That's your USP.
My teeth, yeah.
Okay.
And as I say, I mean, they've been known to chew through concrete. These teeth are so strong, so... Alan
that's
Sugar
amazing.
Fires me.
That's such a great zoology fact. I love it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's very cool, actually. I actually didn't know that.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't until a couple of days ago, but I'm loving that fact.
No one would know.
Okay, Maddie.
Right, well, so I think my... What the tarsier has is it jumps, it lives in the trees and it jumps from place to place. Right. And I don't know whether you've ever seen The Apprentice, but they're always woken up at like 5 a.m. and then they're broken. They're like, they're taken. They're like, okay, right, let's take you to an airfield. And then they're like, your task is to do with chocolate in Swindon. And so then they have to go somewhere else. So I think my Tarsier would be like, on it, because it could just get everywhere, be everywhere straight away. So I think it's got the mobility aspect, so it can be straight on it, right there, first in the door.
Are Tarsiers nocturnal, or are they not?
They are nocturnal, yes.
So they'd be fine being woken up at 5 a.m.
Fine, and they can work all night, and they might be a little tired during the day, but, you know, that's fine. They quite often drink coffee.
They have overnight tasks quite a lot on The Apprentice, so, you know, there's that.
Overnight tasks, exactly. It can speak to, like, countries in different time zones. It's international.
How would it do that?
My question.
It's got opposable hands.
More the language barrier I'm thinking about.
It's a very international creature, what can I say? And
Morse code.
Morse code. And then the other thing is Tarsier's eyes are the biggest in proportion to its body of all mammals, and its eyes are heavier than its brain. And as we know from so Apprentice contestants, you know, maybe there's a similarity there. And also it means that if anyone's sort of like talking about it behind its back, it's going to know, A, because it's got big eyes, and B, it can turn its head 180 degrees without moving its body.
Like an owl.
So it can just be like, oh, what did you say?
Sounds like a sort of straight monkey away. Owl morph situation.
It is.
Is it like a bush baby?
Yeah, it's like really little, like a squirrel.
Does it look like a monkey?
Yeah. Well, a monkey / a gremlin.
I think we're going to have to put a picture of Tarsiers up on the post.
We do. Yeah. We need a picture of a Tarsier. They are kind of cute and creepy at the same time. All right.
Just like me.
So.
That's the Tinder profile statement there. I'm like a Tarsier, cute and creepy at the same time.
It's the new version of sexy and cute.
Yes.
Cute and creepy.
Okay, so it's time for my judgment. It was a valiant attempt with the barnacle, but no. And... okay. The naked mole rat, I think the naked mole rat is not going to win, because I think that in business it's all about, like, what you look like, to be honest.
Do not judge a book by its cover.
I don't.
I have.
But
no.
I cannot speak for the rest of the world. And I feel like that's like been a steady decline throughout.
Good point. Alan Sugar, not exactly a looker. He's done quite well.
He's a man.
Maybe you'd have been better Dragon's Den instead.
Maybe. I'll give it a go next week.
Okay, so the winner is going to be the Tarsier.
Yes, international business.
For its business agility skills. All right. And that's the end of that scenario. Okay, and on to the next scenario. Scenario. It says, party animal. The end is nigh, probably. And we're taking a hedonistic approach. How will your creature contribute to an end of the world party? And I think we should definitely start with the Tarsiers, because they look like they've been to the mother of all parties already.
Yeah, well, this is why I think a Tarsier is good in this situation, because, right, its eyes are so big, they're humongous. And, you know, often at hedonistic parties, other people's eyes are also very, very big. And so people will feel like the Tarsier is part of the gang.
So you know. Are we saying that the Tarsier is on E all the time?
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't have to be and just pretends and fits in without actually having to take the drugs.
Exactly. Nice. Like, everyone's going to be like, oh, Tarsier, you're so cool. Look at you on all the drugs. And it'll be like, bam, look at my giant.
Not that drugs are cool, kids. Drugs aren't cool.
No, yeah, sorry, yeah. And
only in certain circumstances. Always drink water. Take half to begin with.
Very sensible advice. And the other thing I think the Tarsier is, or the good thing about the Tarsier is that it's, when it gets pregnant, its pregnancy is 180 days. Right. So, like, let's say the end is nigh, you're having a hedonistic party.
Don't have to worry about having a baby.
You won't have to worry about actually having the baby, because it's 180 days of pregnancy. That's a long time. Like, the world will end. So, no, don't need to worry about that. So that's okay.
Both mother and baby dies. Celebration.
Who needs to buy contraception, guys?
Exactly. And then the other good thing about the Tazia is it's so small. It's like really, really tiny. And so...
What sort of size? Size of a squirrel?
Yeah, a squirrel size. And so it's really small. And so it can do that fun thing where it, like, you know, at parties, people always like to get in cupboards.
No.
No.
Yes.
You're going to the wrong party.
I once sat in a dog cage with my friend.
You see, people like to get these strange situations. So the Tazia can show off and like get in cupboards and like jump out at people. It'd be really hilarious.
So the Tazia is going to be the life and soul of this party. Basically.
It is. It's going to be a party animal.
I really want to go to a party with you guys. Stuff you both in cupboards.
Put you in the dog cage. It's going to be amazing.
I've missed out. I thought it was all about clubbing.
No, just get in the cupboard. It's about
caging.
Or cupboarding.
Okay, who wants to go next?
Yeah, I think I can hold a pretty strong case for the naked mole rat. So most rodents either live on their own or in small families. However, not the naked mole rat. He is eusocial. So they're more like ants or bees.
Yep.
So they live in this huge herd, and they're ranging from 20 to 300 naked mole rats, covering an area. Their area can be up to 6 football pitches in size of desert. But basically, there's so many of them, party's always going to be fun. And then the queen, who is the only one that bears pups, can have up to 27 pups at one time, 4 to 5 times a year. So if this party goes on a bit longer than you might expect, some of them die. Replenishing stocks. There's always going to be more party animals. Just keep them coming. What other fun things do they do? They roll in their own poo. That's charming.
Very hedonistic.
It's quite fun.
Did you guys all go to some really like weird posh school?
What, the naked mole rats?
No, like you lot where you're getting in cupboards and rolling in poo at prep parties.
We don't roll in poo, but I'm just saying.
Why do the naked mole rats roll in poo?
Well, it's actually really interesting. So they also eat their own poo, but we can come back to that. They roll in their own poo because they have this, basically, they create these chambers in the tunnels under the desert, and they have a toilet chamber where they all poo. And they all roll in the same poo, so then they smell the same.
Oh.
And because, obviously, they live underground, they've almost entirely lost their sight. The smell of each other, they can detect that they're all part of the same group, because they smell the same poo.
If we went to your party, would we have to roll in poo so that we smell the same?
I mean, you don't have to, but if you want to have fun, it's advisable. So but maybe, because you might get rejected. The point is that then other naked mole rats or predators won't smell the same, so the naked mole rats can smell them because they don't smell like them.
So a naked mole rat party is a very exclusive party, based on smell.
VIP.
See, the thing is, though, my problem is, right, if we come to a naked mole rat hedonistic party, it's going to smell awful. Like, absolutely awful.
That's completely your own opinion. I'm pretty sure they think it's delightful.
Yeah.
And to them, you smell fucking disgusting.
Well, I'm very offended now.
Well, there we are.
It'd be quite dark, wouldn't it?
Yes, well, that is, isn't
it?
Yeah.
That's party like, you know, vibe. You could get a good strobe going.
They're blind, yeah. So they can't see anything anyway.
They're not blind, please.
Sorry.
Don't jump to conclusions about
rudimentary eyes.
They have, yeah, they can see, but scientists have done experiments with them in the light and in the dark and shown that they have no behavioural differences. So although they can see, they basically just don't use that sense.
Okay, all right. So far we've got an E kind of based party where we get squished into cupboards, and a party, it's going to be a bit like Black Rock City.
Were you thinking Burning Man or not?
Burning Man, yeah.
Oh, Burning so Man.
It's going to be a bit like Burning Man, except we're going to all be covered in poo.
But there's lots of people, and also they can run forwards and backwards, so you can do, like, the moonwalk perpetually. So, I mean, there's dance moves.
I think I have seen that at a festival.
Animals, it's dark, and there's a bit of a smell going around. So, all round, top night.
Okay, barnacles, how are you going to compete with this?
Right. This is... Okay, I'm not going to lie, the naked mole rat is a pretty strong contender for this. However, as I mentioned, before, potentially, depending on how it's been edited together. The barnacle is one of the most well-endowed animals on the planet. Proportionally, they have the largest penis-sized body in the entire animal kingdom. It's about 30 times the body size. So if you imagine, so they're all mostly hermaphrodites. You can imagine this hermaphrodite barnacle sitting in its own little place. However, they don't, self-fertilization isn't a thing. You're like, well, how do I find a mate? The barnacle will extend its penis out of the opening of its shell, like at least 30 centimetres away. Considering how small barnacles are, that's very impressive. To another barnacle, like knock on the barnacle shell with its penis and then enter the barnacle shell and fertilise the other barnacle. So if you're going to come to a party, let's just say it's going to be an orgy, I'm not going to lie. I mean, they're all hermaphrodite, they're totally be up for threesomes and they have very, very, very large penises. So I think if you come to a hedonistic barnacle party, you're going to have a good time.
Like that you said, given that how small barnacles are, 30 centimetres is impressive. Pretty sure that's impressive for most animals.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
And I also do, I don't want to argue for animals.
Feel free.
But I do like the idea of a party not actually having to move.
Yeah.
And I'm like, somebody just sort of like reaching over and being like, hey. And
hey,
just,
I'm going to impregnate you.
Maybe not that far.
Similar to Maddie's argument as well. Everyone will be dead before any of the barnacle babies appear. Although if they do, to be honest, they'll kind of just like either die or float away because they're very, very small.
Or contribute to the party. Yeah, why is everyone so anti-baby?
What's very cool about barnacle children is actually the larval stage is the other way up to the adult stage. So the adult stage fixes itself to the ground with its antennae as like and a cement gland. So they kind of head plant the rock and then they live that way around. Whereas free living floating larva kind of have the antennae at the top and kind of move around trying to find. They spend a lot of time journeying to find the perfect spot. So they're very good at making things comfortable. They find comfortable places. They're very good at sex. And as Maddie said previously, you can basically just lounge around and you'll kind of all have a good time and you don't have to move that much. So it'd be quite a relaxing party as well.
They sound
not
a little
very
bit
hedonistic.
A little bit like
there's
my
a lot
ideal
of sex.
Man.
I mean, it can be sedentary sex, but it's still going to be sex. Like.
Okay, so I can lie down on a comfortable rock. And wait
well,
for a penis
I mean, you could choose a bed if
me.
You wanted to. And also, I mean, that you could get in a pool. There could be like an underwater bit to the party. You could have like a jacuzzi. You could get some kind of water going in there. Sorry.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
If this wandering penis finds me and I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Can I bat it away?
Yeah, well, I mean, just say for barnacles, if they're not interested, they just don't open up. They have like a little kind of mouth-like aperture. It's not their mouth, but it's like it's shaped like one, a bit like a squid. Mm-hmm. And they either like open up or they don't.
Cool.
So you can consent is very important in the barnacle family.
You can open up your aperture.
Or you can keep your legs firmly crossed.
And the other thing, you can have this party on a beach because they live in intertidal zones, so it'd be cool. Like sunset party on a beach, bonfires, like perfect hedonistic setup.
I grant you, the location does sound good.
I forgot to say that my tarsier was nocturnal. Like, nocturnal is the most party thing ever. How could I have forgotten that? Let me just add that in.
Okay. Right. I think I'm gonna, it's definitely not gonna be the poo party, sorry about that,
yes.
Naked mole rats.
I'm in shock.
It's alright, just roll in some poo and
I've
sure you'll be fine.
I've seriously been bloody done on this show. I put up a good fight. Next one, you watch.
Next, the naked mole rats are going to be attacking us with their teeth and it'll all be over. Yeah, that's what the apocalypse will be.
So the e-party sounds great and in my youth I'd go for your nocturnal e-party in the jungle. Would have been great, but the idea of just having a lie down and penises can come along and I can either get on board or not, that's going to be the winner.
Yes.
Literally.
So that is the end of that scenario. All right, and on to the next scenario.
Woohoo!
Rapid climate change means it's now too hot and dry where you're living. You need to travel 1,000 miles to the north. Will you survive the journey?
I need to interrupt. I thought climate change wasn't real. I thought that Trump said climate change didn't exist.
It's a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese.
And the liberals.
Storm Doris has shown us all that climate change is here.
Doris was chaos yesterday.
Doris was chaos.
Bins went flying. Anyway.
Okay. Right. Well, anyway.
Can I use alternative facts in my arguments? Is that allowed now?
whether climate change is real or not, the reality is you've got to travel 1,000 miles north. How are you going to do it and how are you going to survive?
I think the barnacles are right, actually, to be honest. Let me argue my case.
Okay, do it.
Okay,
do it.
So the adult barnacle is sessile. They cement themselves to a rock. However, the larval stage is incredibly, incredibly mobile. They are part of what makes up plankton in the sea, and they allow the currents to drift them thousands of miles to different places. And they're very small, and they're kind of cute. Like, they're quite gelatinous. The larval stage goes through, like, kind of two overarching larval stages, but then supposedly five, something called instars, where they kind of molt their coat repeatedly. They're very flexible. And so they're just going to drift, like, on the sea currents, wherever it takes them. Hopefully they'll find a northern sea current, and they'll get that way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do they have any directional capability? No.
A small amount. So they can, as they get to the later larval stages, they can obviously move themselves enough to stay in one place so that they can have a look at, like, the surrounding area and pick a particular spot on the rock.
It's not going to get them 1,000 miles.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, it will. If I get into the right current, I'll just travel.
Where are they currently located?
Kind of all over the place. So they're mostly, I mean, you can find Britain already, so they're kind of already in the north, but equally, they could probably travel from the south to the north with the right current.
Do they, in the larval stage, do they have their penises?
Not fully developed.
But a bit.
Well,
they... Just because they'll use that as a rudder, couldn't you?
If it was 30 centimetres.
Yeah, 30 centimetres.
So it's not that big in the larval stages. They do not reach reproductive maturity until they've settled. However, they do still have, they have the beginnings of a penis. And they have
what,
these
about
really
15
cool...
centimetres?
I don't know actually how big a larval stage penis is. I wasn't sure that this was appropriate conversation. But I mean, the other thing as well is that they have... So it's more prominent in the adult barnacles when they've kind of lied on their backs and they have these legs that they stick out of their shells with feathers on and they filter feed and they wave them around. But the larval stages still have that. So they can kind of rapidly gyrate these kind of feathery limbs to stay in a place or to slightly change their direction. But you are right, most of their direction is divided by the sea current. But if I can get into the right slipstream, I'm golden.
All right, I think that's actually not a bad argument. I was expecting...
You doubted me.
I was expecting...
Doubted the barnacle.
I was expecting the barnacle to be completely fucked in that situation. All right, Lottie, come on.
Well,
naked roll.
So, firstly, you're saying climate change has got really hot.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they can't survive. I beg to differ. So, the naked mole rat currently lives in the Eastern African desert, right, where it is obviously really hot in the day, but they live underground in these tunnels they've burrowed with their really strong noses
and
teeth.
Their amazing teeth.
And unbelievable teeth. And so they already are like creating their own environments. In these tunnels, it's like 30 degrees, like a stable 30 degrees, even when it gets much hotter and much colder outside on top of the desert. So they might not even have to move anyway. But if you still want them to move, these, obviously, teeth, tunnelling, so they can just plough, stay underneath. They're not going to get too hot. They aren't going to ever run out of water because they eat these like tubular, you know, just sort of plant roots and stuff. And so they don't ever need to drink because they get enough moisture from their food. And then, as we've said before, reproductive, they have 27 pups in one go, 4 to 5 times a year. So as the whole pack just moves, or group as we've decided they're called, just keep going and just continually digging underneath absolutely bloody everything.
So even if it takes several generations, you'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, you were going literally one barnacle at a time.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to add to mine that adult barnacles, because they live in the intertidal zone, are very good at being desiccated frequently, and so they have to live in extremes of conditions on a daily basis. So mine might not even be that affected by climate change.
But not as much as the heat that mine are subject to.
Right, so I feel a bit sorry for you because you're already endangered. The tarsier...
Yeah. So the tarsier, I'm actually worried about the tarsier in this situation because it lives in the trees, and we all know that climate change, if it's going to be hot, all the trees are probably cut down anyway, and if it's hot, there's going to be forest fires. And it's a small creature, so it's going to be eaten by all the bigger creatures that are desperate.
Is the tarsier not flame retardant?
I think I might use my wild guard.
All right.
That's all right.
Yeah
right. Because the tarsier, I'm sorry, but climate change... You're done, mate.
I can't remember what I gave her.
It's got to travel.
Okay.
It's got to travel far.
It's fine. It's a tortoise. It's a tortoise. Right. So, actually, I'm good with this because a tortoise, firstly, protective shell, you know? When things start to go wrong, it can just get right in that protective shell.
Quick question, what's going wrong? The issue here is climate change and heat.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
Like rocks being thrown at him.
Yeah, so the torch that's... No, but when the climate change, all the animals are going, I'm assuming. They don't want to... It doesn't want to be eaten on the way. So tortoise, not going to be eaten on the way.
How, if it retracts inside its shell, is it going to move anywhere?
Well, it's not going to move at that point. It's going to hide. But it will keep moving. It will move slowly. We all know the thing, you know, about the tortoise and the hare. You just got to keep going. And they live for ages. So, like,
that's
it
true.
Might take a bit of time, but it's going to be going there. Like,
so it's going to take its whole lifetime to travel this distance and then just keel over in the cold.
It will make it. And I don't think that's a fair argument. We were happy with the mole rats reproducing on the way.
So, also, the other thing about generations, though, if they're going to reproduce, I thought... So, the naked mole rat has the advantage of all the potential things it could reproduce with are in its group as it goes. Tortoises, from my opinion, from what I know, quite solitary, and it would take them quite a while to get to a mate. They might have to deviate really far off course to find a mate.
I think they've actually, before they left, they made a Facebook group and they're all going together. I think tortoises, you know, I think they strike me as quite organised creatures. Like, I think they would get sorted, get the rucksacks on, have a pack, be, like, they're sensible. They're the sensible ones. They've lived for so long, they know what to do.
But do we have time for this sort of organisation during this tense environment? Got to quickly run up.
I think they've probably predicted it. They've seen that, I think they're probably quite knowledgeable on climate change, my tortoises.
Catherine, how quickly do we have to travel this distance? Because I think the barnacle's probably going to win in its speed, because if it's the sea current, we're good.
I cannot believe we've got to the scenario where the barnacle is going to win on speed when we travel.
The barnacle and the tortoise are both not going to win.
What? No!
Go naked mole rat! Finally.
Yeah, finally the naked mole rat takes over, because it's going to be able to survive on the journey.
And there's going to be masses of them once you get there. It's not like you're just going to survive. Like the barnacle and the tortoise, they might have like one or two.
Well, that's not quite true, because they live in thousands, and so that most they fill up with the entire plankton of the ocean.
No one wants a barnacle to win this. Let's just be serious.
Sorry, Emma.
I'll accept my wild card was not the right one.
Apologies to the tortoise, but I just really hate Facebook groups. Okay, so that is the end of that scenario. So the winners are everybody or nobody, because everyone won one. All right, cool. So we're going to say bye.
Bye. Bye.